Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." For more than 2,000 years, he's been doing all that he promised. Today, his church remains an assembly of his saints, providing a place for worship, fellowship, and instruction. In a world that often feels isolated and alone, church remains a place to connect. It's a place to call home. We're so glad you've chosen to connect with the family of believers at Campus Church in the Crown Center at Pensacola Christian College, as together we rejoice in the Lord.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to that most familiar Christmas passage, Luke chapter 2. And in just a few moments, we will begin reading in verse number 25, Luke chapter number 2. Now, I don't know what your history with Christmas is. I do know mine. And then I think I've, in a fairly accurate way, surmised the Christmases of many. How many of you, when you opened gifts when you were growing up, or maybe even, of course, to this day, how many of you are Christmas Eve present people? You open presents on Christmas Eve. If you'd please raise your hand. Okay, not very many, and that means this is a good group of people, okay? So how many of you are the faithful, you don't open presents until January? Oh, some of you started to raise your hand. Okay, so most of you, I'm assuming, are Christmas morning people. Now, here's the other question. How many of you, it's just, now this is not our religious history, but so don't think that we're going to start doing, you know, confession, but how many of you, because confession is good for the soul, how many of you oftentimes cheat and you're like the sleuth of Christmas? You hunt down, you know where they're going to hide them. You figure out a way to figure it out. How many of you know what you're getting before you get it for Christmas? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you wives? You just check Amazon, see what your husband's buying. Okay. All right. So Christmas, of course, is oftentimes associated with waiting for something that you really want. We say and we sing about, if I could only have for Christmas, or all I want for Christmas. And so we start to process and we think, like, there's something that I am so hoping for that I can actually have or find under the tree. The title of our message today reflects that idea, and it is simply, "Just What They Wanted." Just what they wanted for Christmas. So if you were put to the question, or the question was put to you, what is it that you want for Christmas? And I'm not trying to be silly about this or overly extravagant, but if you could ask for anything and then be able to secure it, what would it be? For some, I mean, even the thought immediately brings to mind that you would, if you could ask for it and get it, it would be the restoration of a broken relationship. For others, it may be, I want the beginning of a certain relationship. For some, it would be security, that being a job or some other form that would put your mind at ease. Some, it would be the answer to some serious and weighty financial burden. Some have experienced a loss, and it is so keenly felt during the holiday season that you're not even sure what it is that you want right now. Others are praying for the return of a wayward child or a spouse who has lost their way. In the Gospel of Luke, we come across, obviously, many characters, but the two that we're going to address today are not the characters that you find at the typical nativity scene. They're not the shepherds, they're not the angels, they're not even the wise men who really shouldn't be at the nativity scene. They are two other characters that we oftentimes see but don't pause and ponder during the Christmas holiday season. They are the characters of Simeon and Anna. Again, they're not going to be found on your Christmas cards, but they are significant characters to the Christmas pageant, so to speak, of Luke chapter 2. Both of these individuals were wanting something. Now, I know that we celebrate Christmas because of what it is that they were about to celebrate, but if Christmas were a thing and you said to Simeon, "What is it that you want for Christmas? Anna, if you could have anything, what is it that you're watching for, you're waiting for? What do you want for Christmas? Of Simeon, the Bible records that he was waiting for the consolation. That word literally means the comfort of Israel. And then of Anna, the Bible says that she looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The words waiting that we see and then the words looked for that we just saw, both of those are the same Greek words, and they communicate the idea of anticipation. Like, oh man, I'm looking for, I can't wait until I fully, finally realize. This was something, or rather, better said, it was someone that they were waiting for, watching for, longing for. It was Jesus, the Messiah. And they were both very alert, watching, waiting for his appearance. And they were both, I would submit, ready to welcome the same. So let's begin, and we're going to start by looking at that first of the two characters. Let's begin by looking at Simeon. And we would say Simeon was one who was listening and longing for comfort. Listening and longing for comfort. Now, things at this period of time for the nation of Israel are in incredible and ongoing turmoil. To most people, or at least to many, God was either silent or non-existent. They're living at this time under Roman rule. They've lost their political independence. They're living in fear of a man who is bordering on insanity. That is cruel King Herod. Israel is wondering, is there a Messiah? And if there is, will he ever reveal himself? Of course, at this time, many had departed from the ways of God. Now, again, if we want to draw a parallel for ourselves, we would say we're living in a time of global uncertainty. I mean, you can't open the news today, look at something, some news feed, read some headline, and not see some new insurrection, some new government that's been toppled, some new rebels that have found a way, and another government is unseated. I mean, this is the storyline of our day, and it's almost dizzying trying to keep up with who's in charge where. It's not unlike the day in which Israel is now functioning. Their culture, for them as a people, their nation, it is an incredible turmoil. So they're starting to wonder, is anybody really living for God? In fact, is there a God? We like to speak in 100% terms. We like to use expressions like, well, nobody does that. Everybody's doing this. So we like to use those kinds of expressions. Maybe your parents, you know, when you said, Dad and Mom, everybody, and they would pause and stop and say, no, not everybody, at least not you. And you know, when you process your Christianity, I think at times we feel like nobody is following God today. Our culture's so broken. Our people are so wayward. I mean, who in the world today is following God? And that may have been the most popular or the majority sentiment in Simeon's day, in Anna's day. But I would submit to you, it was not the everyone sentiment. Everyone didn't believe that. You say, well, what point are you trying to make? There were many who had departed from God. That is true, but not all. God always leaves a remnant. There is always someone at any period of time throughout every age who continues to follow hard after God. And if no one around you, if no one around us is following God, we can be those that continue to say, listen, maybe not everyone is following God, but someone is. And maybe, although you might feel alone in that pursuit, always allow that someone at least to be you. You see, we find it in verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was, here's who he is, just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. He's not the only one, by the way. Now, you might be somewhat like Elijah in the wilderness. I remain. But there were others that were pursuing, following after God. And let's take a little bit closer look at this godly man who is one who's righteous before God. Let's look at him and learn a little bit more about him. Now, again, just for way of putting it fresh in our minds, behold, verse number 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. And what is he doing? Well, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. The first thing we're going to note about this man, Simeon, first thing is we'll say, this might be a little stretch, but we'll say he was listening. Listening. Okay, you say, well, where do you get this idea of listening? Well, his name. The name Simeon actually means hearing. And what do we know about the essential connection between our hearing, our listening, and our faith? Well, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let me ask an honest question. How is it that Simeon knows to watch for the coming of the Messiah? Well, I would submit he had been pursuing, following the truths of Scripture, listening to the message of the recorded word, and understanding there is a promise from God. And that promise from God is the promised one, the Messiah. He's watching for, listening to the word, waiting for the consolation of Israel. It suggests that Simeon spent much time poring over the prophetic page. Simeon is, if we wanted to use a simple expression, he is dialed in, focused to hear of the coming of the promised one, waiting for the news of the one he has been wanting and watching for to see. Well, what is he doing? First of all, he's listening, but let's go a little bit further and see that he was also longing. Longing. Okay, so he's listening, he's attuned, he's waiting for this news, but it's not just news to him. There is a deep-seated longing, desire to see the arrival of the promised one. Now, remember, verse number 25 says that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. I mentioned just briefly a few moments ago that the word consolation communicates the idea of comfort. And how desperately Israel needed to find comfort. He's waiting for this consolation. And by the way, the expression is still used by Jews today. One of the traditional Jewish prayers is, "May I see the consolation of Israel." Now, sadly, this is for many who are still looking for the advent, the arrival of the Messiah. They're still watching for him. Let me tell you, anyone like Simeon who's searching the scriptures knew this is the promised one. This is the one for whom we have been listening, watching, waiting. You also get the sense that Simeon knew that there was one that could make sense of the law, make sense. Without the Messiah, the endless sacrifices and laws and procedures made no sense. Now, I want you to think for just a moment, okay? So process this. What would it be like for a priest who went through all of the rituals of the sacrifices, all the laws, all the demands, just to keep the temple sacrifices and the worship of the same intact and functioning and processing? I mean, they make the showbread. They put it on the table of showbread. They remove it from. They insert it in a certain place. They cover it for a certain time. They wash themselves at the brazen laver. They burn incense inside. They offer a continual sacrifice. Blood after blood after blood is shed, and animal after animal is sacrificed. And to what end? I mean, how long are we going to do this? And what's the purpose of this? And what's the point of this? Listen, if you don't look beyond the picture, you never see the person. And I can't help but think that a guy like Simeon understands there is one who's going to make sense of it all. We've been doing this for year after year, generation after generation, but there is one who is coming who is not just the picture. There is one who is coming who is the actual fulfillment to all that we've been doing. And then the formal will be set aside because the fulfillment has finally arrived. Why kill a lamb? Why wash in the brazen laver? Why break the bread? Why keep the Passover? Only to remember that there is one coming who is the answer to it all. Let me tell you, I think a guy like Simeon, who understood these are just pictures, these are just symbols, was longing to see the one who would not just be an added on picture. He's going to be the one who is the final fulfillment to all that we have been picturing these past many years. So what was he? Well, he's listening. He's longing. What else is Simeon? You probably noticed this in the passage, but he was also led. Simeon was led. There's one who's directing his steps. Again, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. This is a man who knew what it meant to be led by the Spirit. Yes, he's listening. True, he is longing. So it was very natural for him to be led by the Spirit. Okay, Lord, what do you have? What am I supposed to be hearing? What am I picking up on? Okay, so wow, there's a person whose ear, so to speak, is bent to the road. And then you have a person who's longing. God, how I long to see the answer to all of these pictures. There's a desire. You get those two things in place. A listening ear. Lord, would you speak to me? A longing. God, what do you have for me? Let me tell you, it's not a stretch at all for us to take that next step to be led. Many times people say, well, I don't know exactly what God has in store for me. I don't know what's next. How am I even supposed to know? Man, follow a simple pattern that Simeon has set for us. Listen to the voice, the words of God. Long for what it is that he has for you. God, I want what you want more than what I want. And I think the next natural thing is you too will also be led. And then look a little bit further. The last thing that I notice about him is he saw the light. He saw the light. Now, I know it's a simple expression. Hey, I finally saw the light. But he literally, he saw the light. The Bible says, verse number 26, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And notice verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Now, Simeon's expectation focused on the comfort that the coming Messiah would bring. Now, among the Jews of Simeon's day, there were popular titles for the Messiah. And one of the popular titles was Comforter. Like some of the Christmas songs we sing, oh come, you know, there's this idea of this comforter who will finally arrive, longing for the Messiah to come, bringing his comfort. Now, the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple. He prompts him to go at just the right time, on just the right day that Joseph and Mary were bringing the child. When Simeon looks at the baby, and by the way, at this point, Jesus would be about 6 weeks old. He knew that God's promise had been kept. And here was, right before him, the word that we use, Emmanuel. This is God with us. And he has come to eliminate, by his death, what sin brought about for us. And that is the very thing of death. There are two words that I think are important for us to take note of. Notice again, verse number 28. Then took he him up in his arms and first blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant, second word, depart in peace according to thy word. Okay, first thing he does is he blessed God. Now, we just read that Simeon reached down and took the baby from Mary's arms, began to praise God. Okay, so do you picture Bible events in your mind? Do you just kind of have something in your head? How many of you have ever read a book and then you were disappointed by the movie? Have you ever had that happen before? Most of us. Listen, we've read a book, but I promise you, if God allows these scenes to unfold before us, we'll never be disappointed by a book. We'll look at the scene unfold before us and it'll just be like, Lord, it's even more powerful, more beautiful, Lord, more present than I could have ever imagined. So picture for just a moment Simeon, and he's up in years, and Mary and Joseph, they're just young. In fact, they might have been teenagers. So here are these kids. These kids come in with a little baby, and it's, of course, Mary's first. And they know they've had this miraculous exposure to this child. They've been given these messages that they're still trying to process. And now they're keeping the law. They're going to come and they're going to offer two little turtle doves. They can't afford, of course, the fuller picture. So God made provisions for those who had few resources. And they're going to offer these two. And they're bringing this child in. And it's a big place. And there's so much happening. And then this old priest comes up and he sees them and the Holy Spirit says, that's him. That's him. All these years he'd been watching and waiting, longing. Oh, Lord, and now you led me. You led me to the light. And I don't know, I hope he asked, you know, but he goes up and the old priest just says, may I? May I? As he broke out into praise, he acknowledges that God has not only fulfilled the promise to him, but the promises of the prophets to send the anointed one to both comfort the Jews and the Gentiles, the consolation, literally the one who is bringing comfort. I am holding him in my hands. And then notice the second word that I'd like to highlight. The second word is not just blessed, but depart. Lord, he said, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. The word depart here, it is rich in meaning, and it means this. This is what the word means. It means to release a prisoner from his bonds, to untie a ship and let it set sail, to take down a tent and to unyoke a beast of burden. Many here this year will celebrate your first Christmas with an empty chair around a table. Please remember that for the Christian, they have been set free. They are no longer carrying the burden of this life. The rope that moored their ship in life's harbor has been untied and they have sailed away. Not only is their burden light, it is no longer existent. They have been set free. And do you know what Simeon finally recognizes? He says, Lord, I know you had a job for me, and I know you had a promise for me. And Lord, thank you for allowing my eyes to see that which you have promised to me. And Lord, you told me I'm not going home until I have the privilege to see the Lord's Christ. And now, Father, I have seen him. And now, it's almost as if he goes over and he starts to untie the rope from the post that moored the ship of his life, and he looses it. Or it's almost like he takes the yoke from the beast and he sets it aside. And now as he passes the child back to the mother, he says, Lord, I am ready for you to call your servant home. And might I add, and not a day before. And so he is ready to depart. Now, let me just mention this next, and we won't take time with her, but she bears mentioning. Her name is Anna. She is the one who was watching and waiting for redemption. Let's just read about her. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Verse 38, and she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She is really, she's of Luke chapter 2, she's the third witness to the deity of Christ. The first ones are the shepherds. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Be to all people, unto you, shepherds, born this day, city of David, Savior, which is Christ, the anointed one, the Lord. This is God, the deity of Christ. The second one, Simeon, he is the one who said, hey, this is the promised one. And now the third witness to the fact that this is deity, this is God. Isn't God careful about how he very early on is establishing who it is that's coming? It was the apostle Paul that said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. God was establishing this is, in fact, God the Son. And then Anna's name, her name means grace. She had lived a long time. Some, by the way, we think she was at least 84. That might be an age that's listed. But some commentators say, listen, 84 is the number of years she lived after her husband died. That's the number of years she's been a widow. We do know that the Bible records that Anna is a person of great age. This person has a lot of years that have been theirs. Might I gently suggest something here to those who are up in years? It is truly wonderful to long for heaven. Obviously, this is what Simeon did, and I can't help but think it's what Anna does as well. But as you do long for heaven, don't speak always about how you are ready to go home. God's plan for your departure will unfold at the appointed time. So wait and receive the daily grace to live, then the timely grace to die. And focus on what God has for you today. Remember, the apostle Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. We know that Paul longed to go home, to his heavenly home. But I don't believe this was the message that Paul was continually saying every place and every time he had opportunity to minister. I believe that Paul did so with an honest acknowledgement here and with a reserve elsewhere. Can you imagine if we use that kind of talk when we were at someone's home for dinner, that we just can't wait to get back to our own home? Of course, we'd understand there'd be an inappropriateness about that, even a sense that there's an ungratefulness about that which is being provided. So long as God has given any of us days, God has also given us purpose for those days. To long for heaven, and especially to long for heaven when it becomes a little bit sweeter as years go by. That we sometimes say, I have more people there than I have here. It's understood that we would even say with the Apostle Paul, listen, I long for heaven. Nevertheless, to be here is more needful. To recognize a longing for heaven, but to also understand the grace for living here is something that all of us would do well to practice, not trying to get to the next while God still has us here. And then I would also add that Anna is a picture. She's looking for the redemption of Israel. We won't detail this, but the Bible does say that she's from the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Asher. And when you're reading that, it just kind of stands out like, why would the Bible mention such an obscure detail? I don't really get that why it mentions she's from the tribe of Asher. Okay, do you remember in the days of Hezekiah? Hezekiah reestablishes something really beautiful in Jerusalem, which would be the southern kingdom. The kingdom's divided, 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south. And so Hezekiah reestablishes the worship of God in the temple, and then he invites all of Israel. He sends messengers, couriers throughout all the tribes of the north. And he says, hey, you're invited to come to the south. Come to Jerusalem and celebrate the worship of the king, the worship of Almighty God. It says, if you turn to the Lord, listen, God's going to have compassion on you. And then we go down to verse number 10 in 2 Chronicles 30. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn, mocked them. Nevertheless, divers, that means many of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Apparently, Anna's family accepted the offer to return. They came back to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And what a wonderful legacy that return had for her grandparents or beyond on a person who now is continuing to follow in that way. Now she's looking forward to the same person, to Simeon. And in verse number 38, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for, this word would make sense to someone from the tribe of Asher. To all that looked for the redemption in Israel, as in those who are sold to bondage, those who were carried away. 722 BC, the Assyrians come in and they defeat the northern kingdom. Israel as a nation is no more. They're carried away captive. And she says, oh, but there's one who is coming to restore those who are bound as captives. And you know, in ways more important than your national captivity, the one who Anna now has the privilege quite possibly to hold in her arms, there is one who came to set the captive free. I don't know what your bondage may be today. I don't know what has its chains wrapped around you, but the one from the tribe of Asher who understood the reality of captivity said, there is a redeemer, and his name is Jesus the Christ.
We're glad you joined us for Rejoice in the Lord as we've discovered answers to life's questions from God's Word. For a recording of today's message,
Just What They Wanted for Christmas,
call, write, or go online. Include a gift of $7.50 for a CD or $15 for a DVD. Write us at Rejoice in the Lord, Pensacola, Florida, 32523, or call 1-800-223-9727. Messages are also available on iTunes when you search Rejoice TV, or find us on YouTube by searching Rejoice in the Lord. Your financial support is vital to keep Rejoice on the air. Your tax-deductible gift enables this viewer-supported ministry to spread the gospel around the world, encouraging Christians and reaching people for Jesus. This is Rejoice in the Lord.
Every year we hear from many of you, and you say how much you love the music on Rejoice. Well, we love it too, and that's why for the past several years we put together a collection of what we think are the best musical moments of the year. And guess what? We're doing it again for 2025. This year's set is packed with beautiful songs that will lift your heart and encourage your soul. You can get 2025's best musical moments as a two-disc CD and DVD set, or if you prefer, we've made it super easy with a digital download option as well. We're thrilled to share this with you. For your donation of $70 or more to Rejoice, we'll send you the complete Musical Moments 2025 collection. It's our way of saying thank you for helping us keep this ministry going strong. And we don't talk about this often, but the truth is that your support makes all the difference. And right now is a time of great need for us. Your tax-deductible gift helps share God's word and music, not just in your area, but all around the world. So call us, write to us, or visit us online to request your copy today. Thank you for standing with us, and may God bless you.